Poor economic conditions in the local market, write-downs and restructuring costs have driven Imperial Logistics earnings 7% lower, offsetting a 2% lift in revenue from continuing operations. The Africa region's business, however, is the one to have offered some cushion, and looking ahead, the ground freight firm expects high single-digit revenue growth and better profits next year. The company's CEO, Mohammed Akuji, joins us for a closer look at the numbers and what will be fueling growth moving forward. Thanks so much, Mohammed, for joining us this evening. So you've seen earnings slip over the past year on account of write-downs and restructuring costs, as I've highlighted. How much of the pressure points get alleviated as you progress now into the full year?
Yeah, quite a lot, because if you take out the once-off costs that you mentioned, we were actually flat year on year. And then if you take into account the cost cutting that we've done, we've taken out across the South African business and the international business close to 400 million rand of costs. And we should see the benefit of that coming through in terms of better margins and better growth in financial year 2020. But that will also give us competitive edge in the market, because now we can be more competitive and grow the top line. So those kind of cost-cutting initiatives don't only have a one-off impact in terms of your cost base, they have commercial impacts in terms of your revenue growth, because then you can win more business.
Absolutely. Filters through to various avenues of the business. Of course, a big part of the pressure, as we've highlighted, comes with the decision to exit your consumer packaged good business in South Africa, and that on account of you seeing it as unviable and an uncompetitive business model at the end of the day. Is that process now completely done and dusted? And is what we've seen so far the extent of your rationalization strategy?
From a numbers point of view, it's dealt with. We're obviously going through a process where we, trying to retain as many clients as we can, because we're trying to convert the clients that have been in that business model to a dedicated model. Mm-hmm. And through that, we'll save a lot of jobs. And we're in the process of selling the cold side of the business. So we're not yet done. We will be done by, come the end of this calendar year. But from a financial point of view, we've taken all the closure costs and provisions in these numbers, the 1.4 billion.
And is there more that sits on the chopping block, or is that as much of the fat as you can cut, and you're sitting pretty close to the bone right now?
Look, there's always opportunity, I believe, to look at your costs, quite sharply. Mm-hmm. We've done a major one in CPG. I don't believe there's anything to that size of that. But, obviously, if the economies get tougher, we have to constantly look at our cost base and see how we can do it. And our approach to this has been gradually doing it, because you don't want to cut too ahead of the curve, because then, you cut into muscle. Mm. So we've done, I believe, enough, which sets us well for 2020, but nothing to the scale of what we've done in CPG you should expect.
You've also impaired the value of goodwill by about 1 billion rand, and that on account of significant deterioration in macroeconomic conditions in all three of your divisions, and then impairments offsetting a mere 2% increase in revenue from continuing operations, and that pretty tepid growth that you're looking at right now. So where are you seeing growth opportunities?
So clearly Africa has had good top-line growth, and we continuously see good growth in Africa, because we're in good sectors. The pharmaceutical industry and the consumer goods industry in Africa is a good growth market because of the fundamentals of the industry. Just to give you a sense of that, in Nigeria, where we're a big player as a pharmaceutical distributor, the size of the market of pharma is about $1 billion. But, they've got 200 million people. Put that into context, in South Africa, we're 50 million people, and we spend $7 billion dollars on pharmaceutical. So the room for growth is massive. We play a critical role in creating market access for multinationals in pharma and FMCG. So we will take advantage of that. We consistently adding new products to our footprint, because we got a route to market into Nigeria, for example, to 50,000 points of sale.
Yeah.
So once you've got that route to market, it's about adding new product, adding new principles, and diversifying away. So, we've been very successful adding new business. And then using our hubs, we've over time created hubs in Kenya and West Africa, and using those hubs to access the smaller markets, because you don't need to have a distribution platform in all the markets in Africa. And now that we've got a great base in Southern Africa, East Africa, and West Africa, we're leveraging that to offer a regional solution for our clients. And that will give us good growth going forward.
Despite that and the kind of incentive you're putting on the table for your clients right now, just how tough has it become winning market share in what is a very competitive environment where you highlighted, you know, margins have come under considerable pressure?
So that's in South Africa. Yeah. We're not seeing the same, call it headwinds in our African business. We're certainly seeing the same effects in our international business, where our clients consistently look at us to say, how much cost can you reduce your fee by? Mm-hmm. And that's why we constantly, as a logistics provider, have to look at our costs. But it's about innovating. You know, it's about having not point-to-point solutions to your client. It's about offering them end-to-end solutions. It's about offering them not regional solutions, but multi-regional solutions. And those are the kinds of things we have to innovate and come up with in our business to mitigate that in a tough environment.
What do you foresee as the biggest challenge to some of this out-of-the-box thinking as you look to pull different levers in a very changed macroeconomic environment?
So it's obviously people. You know, you got to get people to be motivated in a difficult market. Because, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges in my job today is to keep our South African colleagues, you know, as motivated as the African region's colleagues, because, you know, it is depressing when you read the newspaper and when you watch television. And it's key to keep people motivated, to keep people looking at, don't only look at the downside in a difficult market, there's opportunity. And there is, because in a difficult market, people tend to outsource more. People are looking at their cost base, people are looking at their logistics and saying, how can we take out costs from a supply chain? Now, we are a key player in that. So we should turn it around. We should turn out the negatives and turn it into a positive. And that's what I'm faced with, is to get people's mindsets to don't let the economy depress you. We have a great business in South Africa. We've got an end-to-end service we can deliver to our clients across great industries. And we've got scale. You know, we're a big player. And we should use that in difficult times to win new business.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, Mohammed. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. That, of course, Mohammed Akuji, who's CEO of Imperial Logistics.